Ed from the D.C. area. He will speak on the gift of desperation.
Name's Ed, number 80. Wow, the gift of desperation, man. I just want to thank God for being here, man. You know, gift of desperation. When a lady asked me about that topic, I've been, you know, so desperate in recovery, man, that, you know, that was a good one for me, man. And it's been a gift because I gave up some things. But, you know, I think about my first point of desperation, especially using and things like that. I think it all started when I was dealing with these two girls, you know what I mean? And one of them asked me that, was I dealing with the other girl, you understand? And so I told her, I said, no, because I was told not to tell on myself from the streets, you know? They told me, because, you know, I got a lot of misinformation out there. I always thought the man was the guy who had all the women, all the money, and all that good stuff. And it took me to a desperate state. But there was a guy in my neighborhood who I always remember. He had a woman living with him and a woman down the street from him, right? And he, for some reason, I seen him ride down the street one day. His girl come around, and she came, and he said, "Look, baby, look, go home, take care of the son. Do all, you know," he just handled the situation. So when he did that, I said, "Man, good, I want to be just like that," you know what I mean? Because he got two women, and both of them know he's dealing with them. But they understanding it. They taking it like, and I said, "Man, that's a good thing right there." You know, that's a good thing right there. Seriously, I mean, he had plenty of money, he had a car and all that. I said, "Man, I'm going to be just like that when I grow up," you know. But, you know, he ended up getting 30 years and both of them ran off. So, you know, it ain't work out. But it all came down. You know, I was dealing with these two girls. The girl kept, she came back a second time. She said, "I love you, Ed. You know, I want to marry you. Tell me the truth, right?" And I said, "I ain't messing with her. You know, what you want me to do?" I thought I was selling a little bit of drugs, things like that. I thought I was the man back then. I was using, but it wouldn't, I ain't see the ugly side yet, right? But the third time she came back, and I told her, I said, "All right, okay, look, I've been messing with this girl, you know, but in November I realized that me and her ain't had nothing in common. So I love you, you know?" And she said, "I'm saying, Ed, you're the only guy I've been messing with, right? In July, we started dealing with each other. What happened from July to November? Were you messing with both of us?" I said, "Yeah, but I realize I love you, you know?" And she told me, she said, "You can call me, we can be friends." She said, "But I'm not going out with you anymore." You know what I mean? And from that, you know, I for the first 3 weeks, I thought it was all right. I went on with my life. But, you know, I'm a mama's boy, and my mother used to always see me. And my mother looked at me one day. She said, "Baby, what's wrong with you?" I said, "Everything all right?" She said, "Nah, something wrong with you." You know what I mean? And I can't, I said, "So you really want to know the truth?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I told such, such about such, you know," and I said, "She won't go out with me no more, right?" I said, "Mom, won't you just call her and tell her I love her, right?" And my mother said, "I ain't no do that, babe." She said, "You know, you ain't never seen me messing with two men." And this was desperation right here. I'm like, "Mom, but you asked me what was wrong. You could fix this, but, you know, call her, just, you know, tell her I love her." And my mother said, "I'm not going to do that." From that day on, I think I started to really, really use. Because it was my first time being rejected, right? I had never dealt with no feelings like that. I cried, hidden, of course. I hiding in my bedroom crying and things. But I realized that was like the takeoff of my addiction. You know what I mean? I can't really say that I wasn't messed up before that because I was going to work, missing work and things like that. But I'm talking about from this point on, I started going to jail and things like that, you know? Life just got a lot worse for me. But thank God y'all people. You know, I ain't desperate in that state no more, you know, right now. But, you know, I think about desperation and recovery. You know what I mean? Desperation. You know, I looked up the word desperation. It's like in a desperate state, right? And I can remember playing the numbers being desperate. You know what I mean? I hit twice last year for about 5,000, right? And every time I hit for 5,000, I want to play $100 worth a day. You know what I mean? Desperate. Because now I think I'm going to hit for 100,000. You know what I mean? And I went to my father one time, and I said, my father said, "Man, you waste a lot of money on that number." You know what I mean? And I didn't think it was a part of the disease, though. I never thought the disease had nothing to do with me playing the number. I thought I was having fun. But then when it started hitting my finances, and I started saying I'm going to pay the electric bill next month, But because I know I'm going to hit the day, that misplaced faith, right? Yeah, my father said, if you want to hit the number, put that money in a bank account every day, and you hit her a year, you know what I mean? And, I played one time in 2012, you know what I mean? For real. And then, not just that, I got a child, right? I got a little daughter. I love her to death, man, because, you know, I've been to jail. I did a little time in jail, and I came home and bought into the program, because that was my story right there, in and out of jail. In and out of jail. You know, jail had became a place where I was getting some rest at, right? And, you know, my mother had told me one time before she passed away that she felt better when I was in jail, because she wouldn't worry about getting that phone call. Because, you know, the disease caused me to do stuff that I make people to use and don't use want to kill. Seriously. Knock on people's doors at all hours of morning, you know what I mean? I call family members and tell them somebody going to do something to me if I don't come up with $500. Most of them say, well, you know, let them do it. But, you know, seriously, but I'm just thinking about that disease of addiction, man. You know, it's not even an explanation to it, man. They say it's the something, you know what I mean? That's something that's like, 'cause I'm talking about today, being desperate today. I just think, you know, I was saying my little child is by a girl that's 18 years younger than me, you know what I mean? And I try to blame it on her while we had the kid. We were working together, and she gave me a ride home one day. And you talking about a desperate state? Gosh, man, she saw the house I was renting and asked me, could she rent a room from me, right? That's how it started out. We got the, you know, I said, how much you gonna give me? She said, $150 a week. I was paying $1,000 a month. So I said, give me $125 and you can have access to the house, you know what I mean? So she's sleeping in a room that's got the twin beds. I'm sleeping in the big room. You know, I'm good. Like, she come over there one day and said, I don't want to sleep on the twin beds no more, right? So I said, you want me to sleep in there? And she said, nah, I'm gonna sleep in here with you. I ain't no bite you. Boy, oh boy. We eventually started biting each other. And, you know, I love my daughter, though, I gotta say, you know, because my other two daughters, I saw them in visiting halls, you know what I mean? But I'm just thinking about it, man, you know, and I can't even blame her. Today, we starting to develop a little better relationship, man, you know, because she came over my house, threatened to bust my windows out, said she was gonna kill me, you know, all these things. I felt like she was a gangster, for real. I'm serious. I was scared of her. I started calling the police, you know? Seriously. You know, but it after going through, and then the bad thing about it, we went to court and the judge said, do not say nothing to him. Don't text him, Facebook him. Just leave him alone. You understand what I'm saying? As soon as we left court, she followed me. So are you serious, aren't you? I called the police on my cell phone, and they said, go to a parking lot. They sent the car out, right? And when the car pulled in, she pulled out. The dude, he didn't know where we were in the parking lot. We in the Salvation Army parking lot. I'm sitting there like, tell him when he turned in, I'm right here. Woo! I was desperate for some help at that time. And I thought, she, you know, but today, you know, and then I just think about, I got addicted to her. You know what I mean? For real, because I'm one of them guys, I like that, I like somebody to pat me on my shoulder, you know? I got a young woman, nice shape and all that, walking on my arm. That's validation, right? Yeah, I'm like that, you know? But for real, that was one that took me up and then came right back down. And, you know, I used to walk in the house looking behind my back, man. Because I thought her father told me, you think you got somebody good, she is going to terminate you, right? You know, seriously, and I kept it real. I said, when somebody's father tell you something, they know. And I was like, she can't be that bad. Shoot, I'm an ex-crackhead. I mean, I know she can't hurt me, you know. Boy, but, you know, that was you know, all my decision. I made a decision to sleep with the woman. We had the kid. And plus, I ain't coming here and tell nobody that I was dealing with her and, you know, dealing with somebody else too, right? I kept that under the covers. My baby mother crazy, but all the time playing with the lady's emotions. She about to crack my head open. I don't even realize it. You know what I mean? And that's a form of desperation when you know that you done hurt somebody and they get ready to do something to you. You know? And, you know, it's just on and on. But I could just think, I'm thinking about when I got out of jail in 2008, right? My clean day, July 11, 2006, right? And I'm coming up on 6 years, and I can... I just remember, you talking about desperate. I was in Colorado in a penitentiary, locked up, and I had this woman that I was writing, and we were talking on the telephone, right? And they gave me an appeal bond. You know what I mean? An appeal bond. And, you know, I'm already in. I know I got this amount of time to go. But when they give you a bond, I called on the phone. She said, how did court work out? And I said, well, they gave me a bond. She said, how much is it? I said, $125,000. She said, wow. Well, how much would it take to get you out on that, right? And I started thinking. And I said, shoot, you might get a bail bondsman for $10,000 or something like that. She said, well, Ed, I want to get you out. But she said, I don't want no boyfriend, right? She said, I want a husband, you know? If I get you out, you know, I need a husband, right? And I said, y'all know what Ed said, right? Y'all know all those letters out. I said, well, let's get married then. You understand what I'm saying? For real, simple as that. Let's get married. This is a true story. She came and bonded me out July the 3rd, 2006, man. And when I got home, the party was at my sister's house, man. I'll never forget that. We were over there playing cards, and I started drinking. Jose Cuervo, I forgot alcohol was a drug. You know what I mean? Seriously, because, you know, and I'm thinking after being incarcerated for 6 years, I'm not going to use. I got this thing niched. I'm not doing no work in jail, but, you know, I'm thinking I'm working out. I'm feeling good. You know, I ain't using no more. And then the party moved on my cousin's house July the 4th, you know, July the 5th. Because I was trying to get away from her 3rd and the 4th. I wanted to go get one, for real. Because the disease tell you, man, start an argument with her. Walk out, do something, you know. July the 5th, we went out to Fairfax and got married. She had the marriage certificate and all that shit. She had it planned. You ain't getting away, you know. And so we went out. Got married and things, you know, got married. And on the 6th, she said, baby, I'm going back to work. She said, I'm going to give you $1,000 to go buy yourself something, right? She said, you want the keys to my car? I said, no, I don't want your car. I said, I'm going to catch the subway out White Flint Mall and get me something, right? I said, I'm going to go buy me a pinky ring, you know, because I'm thinking, she done bought me a bunch of short sets. It's hot outside. I'm just coming home. I'm shining a little bit, right? And I can remember going over there by Spingarn High School on Bennett Road where I used to use that, you know? And the thing is, Higgledon desperation came and I walked up to the crack house I used to hang in and looked up at it and the people had moved. I said, yes, I'm getting ready to go back home, right? And I walked down by Eddie Leonard's on Blainsburg Road. When I got down there, I saw this girl that I used to use with. She said, hey, baby, God, you must have just came home. I said, you looking cool. She said, what you doing around here? I said, I was looking for Slim and her. She said, they live up here. Woo! Gosh, goodness gracious. I went in that house on July the 6th, and I ain't come out till like the 9th. Sweaty, all greasy and stuff, you know, and then now I'm desperate. I'm sick, you know, I've been doing my thing, and I called my wife, man, you know. I said, look, I messed up. She said, well, I'm thinking about killing myself. Because, you know, in jail, she was a person that I ain't even know. When she came to see me one time, she had slit her wrist and stuff. I mean, she had the slits on her wrist. And I said, what happened? She said, I did this. And she had told me a little bit about her story, telling me her mother was an alcoholic and things like that. But I thought that she got past that. I didn't think she was still taking medicine. You know what I mean? Shoot. I thought, you know... I ain't know nothing about no disease or how the disease can cause a person to go to treatment or to cause somebody else some mental harm, you know. And so what she did was she told me that she was going to go check herself in the hospital. I said, no, nah. I said, don't hurt yourself. Don't do nothing. I said, I'm the one that messed up. I said, I just want to come home and get it together. You know, I swear, I ain't doing it no more. I feel bad. So she said, call me back tomorrow on the 10th, right? And I called her, and she said, if you got to use drugs, let me come get you and come home and use. Boom. I was broke. I had already been down Hex and snatched some clothes and went and sold them, wasted that money, right? I'm feeling real bad. And she came. She said, where can I come get you at? I said, come pick me up over by Spingarn, right? So she came and got me. And I'm a real petty addict. I was like, yeah, you know I pawned the wedding ring, too. Got it right in my pocket all the time. You know what I mean? And she gave me, she said, how much? I said, I pawned it for $100. So she gave me $200. She gave me $100, go get the ring back. $100, go get me some drugs. And of course, I went, got back in the car. We started riding. I was sick, so I did one of them. And we were living in Penn Southern Apartments. I remember she pulled into the parking lot, right? We live all the way in the back. And I'm nodded out, but I feel a car jerk. And she had took the keys out the car, jumped out, and the bondsman and the police was right there to take me back to jail. I stayed on the streets for 7 days, man. 7 days after being incarcerated for 6.5 years, and I really felt like a stupid person, for real. And, you know, they sent me back to where I came from, and them guys, it was lifers down Colorado. And them guys told me, they said, man, you couldn't stay on the streets for a week. Something wrong with you, man. This when I got into a desperate state and started saying I need some help. You know what I mean? You know, my clean day, July the 11th, you know, because after the 10th, I went back. Because I'm one of them addicts that go to jail, and I get real religious. You know, I start reading the Bible. I pray. People ask me to pray with them and all that stuff. Cause I fast, I do it all while I'm in jail, but I come home and throw the Bible in the corner and commence back to killing myself, man. And I've been doing that for years, you know what I mean? But, you know, this one guy that was my cell buddy, he said, man, look, man, he said, man, you need to go to some of the meetings when you get out. Cause my time, you know, I started to clean up again. You know, you get in jail after about 6 months, you start to get your legs back. Now you want to walk around everything all right again. You know what I mean? I ain't no use again. Start just like when you relapse or something, you know? Even though you ain't in no type of treatment recovery, you ain't working on nothing, but you sitting there, ain't no drugs around. Unless you somewhere where they sending them in, you know? But I ain't never used in jail. I always been scared to use in jail anyway. But I can remember, I was mad at that woman, but she saved my life, man. She saved my life by sending me back, because I wouldn't have turned myself in anyway. I would have ran. But I remember, getting out January 17th, 2008, and I came to St. But the guy had told me, he said, man, go to a meeting. I'm like, he had got this all. He's done to sell drugs. He sold drugs all. It's like, ain't never used. So I said, how would you know that the program work or the meetings work? He said, I ain't never used. He said, but I got a brother and a sister that were dope fiends, right? He was from Chicago. He said, my brother got 5 years. My sister got 8 years. He said, that stuff worked for people like you, man. You ain't got no coping skills. This is a non-addict. This is a non-addict, you know, sending a message to Narcotics Anonymous to me. He said, start going to meetings in here, man. That stuff works, man. And I started going in there, you know, and I came home. I remember when I came home, I went straight to St. Luke's and I raised my hand, you know. Got off the bus and I told everybody that I was just come home. Because I had on the army fatigues, so they thought either I came from jail or the war, right? They looking at me, hey, what's up? Yeah, I wasn't over in Iraq smoking or nothing, man, but, you know. But I came in, raised my hand, right, and brother of mine, man, he passed on, brother named Rod, right, he came over and he was looking at me and he said, what do you usually do when you get out? I said, well, I usually stay on the streets about 5 months, give me a job, and then commence back to using, you know what I mean? He said, well, all of us going to give you our number, man. You know what I mean? Call, we want you to call us if you feel like using. He said, keep coming back, man. He said, rumble this thing. You know what I mean? And he said, hold the program dear to your heart. He told me that, right? And, you know, I just that's what I've been doing, coming back. You know, I got a sponsor today, man, and I just been working on me. I mean, I'm still sloppy. For real. You know, I still got a lot of issues, man. I still get desperate in different points, man. I go out and buy something and know I ain't supposed to buy it right now, you know. But God been blessing me, man. You know, and another thing I realized that when I'm going through desperate moments, a lot of times that little space, that desperate moment that you're in, when you hold out, the blessing is at the end of it. You know what I mean? And you know, you don't think desperation is a gift until you get through it. When you going through it, you don't feel no gifts. Ain't no gifts in that thing. Man, that thing is hurting. You know, I've been through You know, my mom passed when I was in jail in 2004. Direct result of disease. My brother died in 2009, right? He was coming to meetings with me and things. But for the last 2 years of his life, you know, I was out and clean. And, man, we were brothers. You know what I mean? Me and my brother used to get each other high or give each other some commissary up in Marlboro and stuff like that. We ain't never do no brotherly stuff. The last 2 years of his life, we used to shoot pool, go to we used to come to meetings, go to the movies, you know, take his grandkids and my kids out and stuff like that. You know, I was just so thankful that God had cleaned me up to have a brother for 2 years. You know what I mean? You know, and I realized, man, you know, I used to try to tell my brother, I just wish I could take the program, bottle it up, and give it to people, man, for real. Because, I mean, I really, really don't want to use no more. You know, and I'm going to say this, last but not least, I can remember one time in my recovery where I really got shaky, though, right? I used to go get my hair cut from my cousin up southeast where I grew up at, and I was sitting on my aunt's porch one day, and this van pulled up, right? And it's late, you know, this the area I used to use in the area I grew up around there. Van pulls up, and I look up in the van, and this girl pulled out a bowl and took a hit in front of me. And I saw all that stuff go up in there. This me at 18 months clean. And I looked at her, and it spooked me, right? And I said, God dang. So I told my cousin, I said, man, I'm going down St. Luke's to the meeting. Man, he said, the meeting ain't till 8, it's 6:30. I said, I know, but I got to go, man. You know? And I got up and went down there. I got up and went there, and I'm talking about nervous. I got money in my pocket. I'm driving the car. I go down St. Luke's, and I'm sitting outside the meeting at about 6, and then the guy that sets it up, he came down there. You know, and when he came, I said, hey, what's up, Joe? He said, how you doing? I said, man, I'm going to help you set the meeting up. He said, all right. So I go in, and I said, he said, well, everything all right? I said, man, I just seen this lady. Dad going to hit the pipe, man. I ain't seen nobody get high in a long time, you know? I said, man, that thing got me feeling nervous. He said, it's supposed to have you like that. You know what he said? He said, come in and share about it in the meeting, man. You know what I mean? He said, share about it and just let it go. Somebody give you some help with it. And I shared about it, you know, and I got past it, man, you know. But now I see why they say people, places, and things, right? You know, you go around a place. I mean, you can hang around people that use if they not using in front of you, maybe, out in good areas. If you see somebody in the movies that you know you use with, that ain't gonna make you go in the bathroom and hit the pipe, you know. But see somebody out in the opening, fire up in front of you. You know what I mean? Shoot, that feeling, man, it was like I was possessed right there, man. Seriously. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for the program, man. Today, I work a job. I work for Local Union 491. We do trade shows and stuff like that at the convention centers all over. Sometimes we go to Las Vegas and places like, depending on who you're working with, right? They pay you good money. And, you know, when I got that job, this guy was telling me, man, I work like a slave, you know. But I came from a road crew up in Virginia, right, where they was paying me 15 cents an hour. And we were cutting down trees, cleaning out beaver dams. Beaver dams. Beavers. Beavers don't play. They do not. Seriously. They don't like the sound of running water. And they would jam wood down in there, right? And you got to clean that stuff out with waders on. I'm saying we were just going out picking up trash for miles. So when they gave me a job and said, we're going to pay you $25 an hour, I started to work like an animal. I applied those same work ethics I had in jail to this job. And I'm a shop steward now after 4.5 years. You know, and a lot of people are like, they must have liked you. Because I've been here 20 years and they won't give me a shop steward spot. You know what I mean? God is good, man. I'm telling you. And I know I've been highly favored, man. My mother used to always tell me. She used to say, just keep praying and keep on doing what you're doing. I wish I'd have found NA probably about 35 years ago, probably. But, you know, I'm going to keep coming back. And I want to thank everybody for asking me to come out and share. Thanks for coming.